Well, we want to welcome you again to Calvary Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. I am rested now. I hope that you are as well. So no sleeping, all right? I know you got an extra hour. Some of you look like you're mad. I don't know what's wrong with you. You rested up. You're all good to go. You're going to have a great day today. It is exciting to have Brother Dwight Tomlinson, his wife Gail, with us today. He was here a year ago, and a lot of things have happened in his life in the last year. But let me introduce you to him so you will know a little bit about him. Number one, he told me this morning he's older than dirt, and I don't know if that's true or not. But he started the Redwood Baptist Church and pastored that church in Redwood City, California for about 10 years. He had gone to as a missionary to Hong Kong for 5 years. And then he started the Bay Area Baptist Church, and then from there he went and he's pastored the Liberty Baptist Church for 25 years in Newport Beach, California. And we appreciate him and his dear wife. They serve faithfully. He loves the Lord, loves souls. He's concerned to get the gospel to the world, and that's what this emphasis is about. We want people to know Jesus. And not just here in Solano County, but all over the world. And so it's our delight and joy to have Brother Tomlinson. If you'll come and preach whatever God's laid on your heart, God bless you. And welcome to Calvary. And please introduce your wife, too, as well. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it depends upon how old dirt is. I'm not sure how old dirt is, but I'll tell you how old I am. I am 66, and I tell you that because otherwise you'll think, yeah, he must be 76. Not quite. I'm working there. Now, my wife is substantially younger than me. I think she is 39. I forget now. We got married whenever I was 20, and I was 21, and she was 19. And I just kind of kept going. At 39, she stopped right there. And at the perfect age. And so, sweetheart, if you'd stand, if you would, please. This is my wife, Gail. And the love of my life, if we do not kill each other between now and January 29th, which I don't think we will, I think we're going to make it. If we make it to January 29th, it'll be 45 years that we've been married. And how I praise God for giving me a godly wife. And open your Bible to Matthew chapter 22. While you're turning there, it was 1 year ago today that I was with you, and what a privilege it was to be able to be here. I love your pastor and his family. I love your church, and we're just so grateful to be able to have the opportunity to be here. It was 1 year ago today, because a year ago, this past September, actually in October, we left Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, and so one of the first places we came was here to Calvary Baptist Church, and we were starting a new ministry called Barnabas 1040, and we talked to you about that a year ago. That new ministry, Barnabas 1040, was a ministry that is for the purpose of supporting national pastors in the 1040 window, working through missionaries such as Dave Board. In fact, Dave Board is one of the missionaries that we work through in Cambodia, supporting. We have two of his men that we support full-time, that his nationals that have gone out to plant churches. One is Muslim villages out south of, or I'm sorry, outside of Phnom Penh where Dave Board is, and the other one is a man that's actually in Phnom Penh in a place called Stung Mon Che, which is one of the most poverty-stricken parts of Cambodia. But we support national pastors. At the time that we did that, at the time I was here a year ago, we had just started, and we were supporting three national pastors in two countries. We were supporting people in communist Laos, and also in the country of Thailand, and that was a year ago. Today we support 18 national pastors in 7 countries. We're supporting national pastors not only in Laos but in Thailand. We're also now in Cambodia, Vietnam, Burma, China, and Indonesia. And this week we're in the process of vetting some guys in Sri Lanka. And so we're really hoping to be able to take on, I'm excited about it. I just forwarded some information this morning to my wife because she was quite a ways from me. I was on this side of the bed, she's on that side of the bed. And so it's amazing. You guys text each other when you're sitting next to each other? I emailed some stuff from her that I'd gotten from missionary Terry Unruh in Sri Lanka about this, these national fasters. And so we're excited about these guys in Sri Lanka that we're hoping to be able to help as well. So things have changed a little bit. Our ministry has grown since we saw you a year ago. And also things have changed in our life. A year ago, whenever I was here, our plan was to live in Irvine, California, down in Southern California, and base there out of Southern California, make trips into the 1040 window. And we spent June, July, and August of this past summer, the entire time in China, and China went into to Philippines and went into Vietnam. And as a result of that time there in China, we came to the conclusion that we really, we would just be playing around with this ministry if we tried to run it from here. Now, maybe someday we'll operate from the States, but not now. We need to be in Asia. So we sold our house, and in fact, we listed it while we were in China, and in 3 days it was gone. So we came home. We came back from, we left owning a little two-bedroom, two-bath condo in Irvine, Southern California. We came back with somebody else owning our condo and telling us, you need to get your stuff out of my house. And so we came back. I had a meeting actually in Virginia, and I called the pastor, said, hey, it's okay if my wife stays home and doesn't come with you because she's got to pack up the house. And so everything we own is now in the back of our car. We have a Ford Edge, and so we've got everything in our Ford Edge, and then in a 5x10 storage unit in Irvine, and that's it. For the first time in the last, first time in our 45 years of marriage, we are homeless, and we're kind of enjoying it. You know, we live out of our car and live out of a storage space, and your pastors like yours is very gracious to us. We stayed in the La Quinta Inn last night. Very nice, by the way. Very nice hotel. We actually slept in a bed, and we enjoyed it very much. But we're moving to China, and so what we're doing is for the next 5 months, we're raising some personal support. Now we've got the money raised for Barnabas 1040. Now we're looking for some personal support as we go to China, and we're going to be working with Team China. In fact, I don't know if I should say his name. I don't think I will say his name, but somebody that you know very well that's over there now is praying about coming over there with us, and my kids are over there. We have a daughter and a husband who are in the same city in China that we're moving to. And we're putting together, it's like God's bringing together what we're hoping to be, will be a Team China, because we're moving to a city of 20 million people. And there's one independent Baptist church there now, and one part-time missionary. He comes in and out of the country. He's there for 2 or 3 months out of the year, and he's back in here in the States for the rest of the time. And so we're excited about what God's doing, and we're hoping to plant churches in China, as well as then go into these other countries of Asia where we're working, and continue the Barnabas 1040 ministry. Now, your Bible is open to Matthew chapter 22. Just go ahead and remain seated, if you would, please, and I'll read the scripture. But as we're getting into this passage, I just want to spend a few moments with you this morning thinking about a couple of things. When I was here a year ago, I preached a message called Finish the Mission. And the thrust of that mission, that message was that we have a mission, that God is on a mission to get the gospel around the world. And our job is to help finish that mission. And I still believe that, but I think not only in the last year have some things changed in our ministry and our personal life and the fact that we're moving to China, but also in my understanding, I think having gotten into this for a year and being over there for those 3 months, we were in China and Philippines and Vietnam, and I don't have time this morning, but tonight, if you come back tonight in the evening service, I'd like to tell you a story about what happened when we were in Vietnam, out in some villages where the police came and surrounded the place, and I'll tell you about that tonight in that evening service at 5 o'clock, and I hope you'll be back for that service tonight. And also, if you're visiting, please come back next Sunday and hear the pastor preach. He's a much better preacher than I am, and so get back here next Sunday. But as in the last year, I've kind of tweaked a little bit my thinking, I think maybe a little bit more biblical, about what's this thing all about. Now, I still believe we need to finish the mission. We still have the Great Commission. But I just want to just give you three simple thoughts this morning. I think that what this mission's emphasis and what this whole thing of missions is about really is about three commandments, three things. And all three of these were given to us by Jesus Christ. Our Savior gave us three commandments. If you look in Matthew chapter 22, you see two of them. And then the other one is in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 22, notice if you would please, if we begin reading verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, now there's three commandments. So this is what this mission's emphasis is really all about. Not just finishing the mission. That's important. That's one of the commandments. But there's two others that that I didn't even think about last time I was here a year ago. I was so focused on the third one, I missed the first two. And really, I think if you don't get these first two, the third one doesn't make as much sense. The foundation is the first one, and then that leads to the second and the third. And all I emphasized last year, a year ago, was the third one. So look at these, if you would. Here's the three commandments Jesus gave. Number one, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. So this mission's emphasis is really about these three commandments. Number one, what we're going to call the great commandment. But notice, if you would please, in verse 39, here's what, let's call this the great compassion, the second commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the third one, if we would just turn over there very quickly, is Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, we're familiar with this one. This is the one that we emphasized last year and that normally we emphasize in a missions emphasis or missions conference. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We call that the Great Commission. So what is this mission's emphasis all about today? It's really about these three commandments. Number one, the great commandment, love God. Number two, the great compassion, love your neighbor as yourself. And number three, the great commission, take the gospel around the world. And they really all come back to the first one. So this morning, just for a few minutes, think about these three commandments with me. Number one, Jesus said, you're to love God. This is the first commandment. This is before the great commission. Number one is to love God. Let's call this a heart for God. Now you understand this would solve a lot of problems in our life, wouldn't it? It would solve so many problems in our church if we just love God. If we really had a heart for God in our marriages, in our relationships, in our world, it would solve so many problems if we had a heart for God. That first love, that love for God. Now you might say this morning, well, you know, preacher, you're kind of preaching to the choir here. We're here at the early service in church. But I know that, and I commend you for that, and I'm glad you are. But I pastored for 40 years, and you know what I found out? I found out that in my life, it is possible for me to be active in church. I mean, going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Being involved in Sunday school, being involved in connection groups, being involved in serving. You can be involved in the bus ministry. You can be involved in service organizations and outreach of your church. All kinds of things. And not really love God like you should. I found out that as a pastor, I could preach and not love God as I should. I mean, think about it. For 40 years, I was pastoring. Every Sunday, I'm preaching. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I don't have the option if I'm not really that close to God that day, I don't have the option of just calling. Like, let's say this morning I just really wasn't feeling like I love Jesus like I really should. I didn't have the option of calling your pastor and saying, hey, thanks for the room and everything, but I decided not to come. You know? I mean, you know, I couldn't send my wife to church and just say, sweetheart, tell the people that I'm kind of backslidden, so I didn't come today, you know? I mean, I got to be there. And you've got to get this thing straightened out and get to church and do what you're supposed to do. Look, open your Bible, Revelation chapter 2. I want to show you this biblically. Yeah, I'm saying to you tonight or this morning that it's possible for us to be involved in the work of God, to be going to church, to be active in serving, and yet not really have that love for Christ like we should have. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity, a missions emphasis, for us to come back and realize, hey, this is not just about my money, this is about my heart. This is about me getting back, focused back to my first love. In Revelation chapter 2, the apostle John is writing under inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says that there's a lot of good things about this church. Notice in verse 2, I know thy works, thy labor, Revelation 2:2. So they're working, they're laboring. Your patience. These people were separated. Verse 2, you cannot bear them which are evil. You've tried them. I mean, they're busy. Verse 3, you have borne, have patience for my name's sake. They were laboring, they were serving, they were separated. They were all outward appearances would say everything is great with the church at Ephesus. Everything looks good. These people are busy. They're trying to win people to Christ. They're a separated church. They're taking a stand. They've got the right doctrinal position. They've got the right. I mean, everything looks good. But Jesus said, "But I have a problem, and that is you don't love me like you used to." Notice in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, thou hast left thy first love." Our first love is not soul winning. Our first love is not the Great Commission. Our first love is the Great Commandment. Remember? Jesus said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all your might. Our first emphasis, our first requirement from God is to love Him. God did not save you just so He could have a servant. He said, "I don't call you my servant, I call you my friends." He saved you because He loves you. And He saved you and He wants you to love Him back. Mm-hmm. You remember what happened with Simon Peter? When Simon Peter denied the Lord and he got away from God and he denied three times that he knew Christ, he was so heartbroken over it that he went out and he wept bitterly. He quit the ministry. He said he was going to get out of the ministry, going back to fishing. Jesus showed up, John chapter 21, and appears to him. You remember what Jesus said to Simon Peter? Simon Peter sitting there with Jesus, and Simon has denied Him. He cursed and he swore. I mean, Simon Peter was as backslidden as you could get. He denied Jesus, he denied the church, he denied that he was saved, he cursed, he swore, he went right back to the old life. And Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. And here's what Jesus said to him: "Simon Peter, I heard you were cussing the other day. Is that true? Simon, why were you cursing? Simon, I heard that you denied me and you denied the church. Why did you do that?" That's not what Jesus said, is it? You remember what Jesus said? "Simon, I just have one question for you. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" That's the issue. Do you love me? So what's this mission's emphasis all about today? It's an opportunity for us to come back and realize that our first and our greatest commandment is to love God, to refocus upon the love of God. Now, how do you know if you love Jesus? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, "If any man love God, the same is known of him." So it's possible there are indications that you're in love with God, that you're doing what you're doing because you love the Lord. Let me just give you four thoughts real quickly, four evidences, and just kind of rattle these off. Number one, if we love a person, we think about them. We don't have to be reminded of them. I love my wife. I've loved her from the first time that I saw her. I'm going to say something. We have teenagers in here today. Teenagers, I do not believe in love at first sight. Okay? It doesn't exist. There is no such animal. Don't come home to your mother or your father and say, "I saw him today. Oh, I love him. I just saw him. I love him." Don't come home, "Oh, I saw her. I love her. I mean, she's an angel. I love her." There's no such thing as love at first sight. Okay? It didn't happen to you. But it did happen to me. I don't believe in it for you, but I do believe in it for me. I don't believe in it for my kids, I don't believe it for your kids, but for me, it happened to me. I'm telling you, I saw her, she was 18 years old, and I was 20, and I said, "Whoa, I love this girl. I love her." From the day that I could take you to the spot where I was, May 10th, 1971, the first time I ever saw her. I fell in love with her. And I've been thinking about her for almost 45 years. She's been on my heart, on my mind. You don't have to remind me. I won't get in the car today, Pastor, to leave the church, and you say, "Hey, preacher, you forgot your wife." "Oh, yeah, I knew there was something that I was forgetting." No, I love her. I think about her. She's on my mind. Number two, if we love a person, we want to learn more about them. We want to learn everything about them. We find a pleasure in listening to people speak about them. If you got something good to say about my wife, I want to hear it. You got something bad to say about my wife, just keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. But if you got something good, I want to hear it, man. I'm telling you, I love my wife. I like hearing good. I devour her love letters to me. When she writes me a note, I keep that note. I read it. Why? Because I love her. And when you love Jesus, there's something about His Word This is his love letter to you. There's something about coming to a place where they're talking about Jesus, where they're exalting him, that we want to be there. Number three, if we love a person, we want to please them. Loving God is evidenced by a desire to please him in our actions, our words, and our attitudes. If we love a person, number four, we want to talk about them. We tell others. People, you know, one guy said to me at our church there at Liberty in Newport Beach, one guy said to me one time, he said, you know, if it wasn't for your wife and Jesus, you wouldn't have much to talk about. I guess not, you know. I mean, I love Jesus and I love my wife, you know, in that order, Jesus first or second. But we've got the Bible to talk about. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's exalt him. I love your song service today. It's all about Jesus. Jesus saves. That's what this is all about. What is this mission's emphasis about? First of all, it's coming back and realizing that we want to love Jesus. Get that focus back upon him. Number two, it's about the great compassion. Not only loving God, the great commandment, the great compassion. Jesus went on to say that it's about loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't think any of us really love our neighbors ourselves. I know I don't. I want to, but to love others as yourself. I'm afraid we're too often like the religious crowd in Luke chapter 10, whenever, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan, when the Good Samaritan was there and he was in trouble. The Bible records how that they went by and they looked at him. We talk about it more than we do it, having compassion on others. About loving your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you a question. If you were living in a place without the gospel, if you were in a place where you didn't have access to the gospel, or very limited access, what would you want us to do about it back in America? Would you not want us to send somebody to help you? When we were in China this last summer, and we were thinking about it, praying about it, and about what we should do, I like to walk and pray in the mornings, and I came back to the hotel where we were staying one day, And I told my wife, I said, honey, I cannot trade these people for a life in America. I just can't. I'm surrounded by millions and millions of people without Christ who have very limited access to the gospel. The gospel is in China. You're not going to go anywhere where God isn't. I tell missionaries, you're not taking God to that country. God's already there. God's bringing you over there. But he's already there. And you can't go anywhere where God isn't. God's always got a remnant, but it's very limited access, very limited numbers of people who have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, we got to do this. And she's in agreement. I didn't have to talk her into it. I mean, just we have to do this. We've got to do this while we can. What would you want us to do? Love for your neighbor. It's about returning to the great commandment. It's about returning to the great compassion. And number three, about the great commission. Matthew 28, we call this a heart for the lost. Simply getting the gospel around the world. Now in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, go to all nations. But in Acts 1, 8, let's go over there one last scripture this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He gave us a little bit more commentary on how we do that. How do we take the gospel to the nations? How do we go to the entire world? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is the last verse we're going to look at. Look at this, if you would, please. How do we do this? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. Now notice this. Both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem in our context today would be your city right here in your town. Jerusalem was where they were. That's where you start. You start in your own town. Your family. You start where you are. You start with your own home. But we don't stop there. Then we go on to Judea, the neighboring cities and counties across our state, Samaria, expanding to the rest of our great nation, and then the uttermost part of the earth. We expand beyond the borders of our country. We reach around the world, especially to those who have not yet heard the gospel. I want to show you a photo. Here's a picture of a tribe in a people group in China. And in this people group in China, there are over 50,000 people in this group, and there has never been one recorded conversion in thousands of years of history. There's never been one person that we know of that's ever been saved in this group. They're up in northwest China, for thousands of years of history. 50,000 people that are in this tribe right now that we know of. According to the Joshua Project, there's never been one conversion, never been one Christian. Do you really believe this morning that those people die and go to hell? I mean, do we really believe that her relatives, her grandfather and her great-grandfather and all the way back, they have died and gone to hell, and her as well will someday if she doesn't believe in Jesus? Again, what would you want us to do if you were a part of that family, part of that tribe? I don't know if we'll ever get to that tribe or not, but we're going to try. My wife and I are going to move to southern China. And we're going to try to get Chinese people and lead them to Christ and encourage them to go to their own people, especially these unreached groups. Now I'm going to close with this. It's not an accident that you're here today. God has you here for a reason. Imagine what could happen in your family, your church, your world, if by the grace of God, you would allow these three commandments of Jesus to be lived out in your life. If you could say this morning, I want to have a heart for God. I want the great commandment. I want to have a heart for my neighbor. I want the great commission. And I want to give so that we can have, our church can fulfill the great commission and get people out into the around the world. God could do amazing things in our life.